This is Flames Talk. Join the conversation at 960-960. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Flames Talk on this Monday, October 7th with Wes Gilbertson. My name is Pat Steinberg, and the Flames have their opening roster set. 23 players, including, well, 24 players with one on IR. That would be Yegor Sharangovich, who starts the year on IR. So the 23 active players, 13 forwards, 8 D, 2 goalies. Wes, let's maybe just kind of go rapid fire through all of what went into getting this 23-player roster set. And maybe start with the one that seemed to be the biggest story on Sunday, and that was Jacob Pelche being on waivers. He ends up clearing waivers. Jacob Pelche has been assigned to the American Hockey League's Calgary Wranglers. He does not get claimed. What's our reaction to Pelche getting through waivers on this Monday?
Well, I was a guy who, you know, as I've said, whether it's been on this show or on social media, like I thought this was a legitimate risk for the Calgary Flames, and I understand where they're coming from, that Jacob Pelche, A, had not played his way onto the roster, that Jacob Pelche, B, especially after kind of a lost season, needed to play games, like that they didn't necessarily think that the recipe to getting him back to the type of player he can be was to watch games as a 13th or 14th forward. I didn't know what to think. I texted a few scouts yesterday, and sort of the consensus was not sure if he'll get claimed. You know, as one said to me, the jury is still out on whether Pelche can be an NHLer, but, you know, they all also acknowledged it sort of takes one scout or one GM who really sees some potential, and he's there. And so, you know, as I said to you in the break, we'd be having a really different discussion today, right? If Jacob Pelche was claimed, the one thing that I've pointed out that I thought made it quite a risk is that Jacob Pelche was waived so you could keep two 33-year-old defensemen. And so the criticism, I don't think comes from the wrong place, but I'm sure a real sigh of relief for Craig Conroy and the Flames that he does pass through today, because I do believe that he's a guy who can be a part of the future for this Flames team.
Yeah, I am curious to see how Jacob goes down and handles it, and how he responds to the most adversity that he's probably had in his NHL career, at least non-injury adversity. This is definitely the most that he's had to deal with. This was head coach Ryan Huska with us after practice on Monday, talking about Jacob being, at the time, he cleared waivers and would then be sent to the American Hockey League.
If you take it the right way, you have a little bit of, you know, he should be, you know, a little bit upset for sure when he goes down, but he has to take it as, okay, there's certain things that I have to get better at and I have to improve upon if I'm going to be considered a full-time NHL player. And now is the opportunity to go down there and do that. His attitude, I don't really worry about that at all with him, because he's got a great personality, and I don't think you really see much change, good or bad, from him in regards to how he handles himself. So I think he's going to go down, and I think he's going to put in the work to get himself back here. This is the way I would like to think he's going to approach it.
So that is what we had to hear from Ryan Huska this morning on Thursday morning, kind of after practice. He also was on the Big Show with the boys on, I don't know why, Thursday. The days are not my strong suit. Monday. He also joined the boys on Monday morning on the Big Show with George and Maddie, and talked a little bit about, you know, what this could now look like for Jacob and how he might get himself back to the NHL level.
I don't think you have to look any further than kind of the way things went for Connor Zary last year. We've had a few conversations about our, you know, meeting at the end of training camp last year where he wasn't happy, but we asked him to find himself when he went down, and he most definitely did that. And then when he was called upon, he was ready. Because of a chip on his shoulder, because he was a little bit upset, I'm not sure, but he went down and did what he had to do. So there was no pouting, there was no feeling sorry for himself. He went down with the mindset that, okay, you want me to find myself, I'll show you what I am. And he did that. So that's what we want for the three guys. you know, potentially that we've got on waivers right now. But in Jacob's case, play a lot, start feeling really good about yourself again. Really, and when you leave here, know that you're still a real big part of our organization. That's a big thing for it too. But we do want him to find that kind of swagger again that he had a few years back.
So that was Ryan Huska, the entire interview up on the second hour of the Big Show podcast on Monday morning. And that's a fair point. Like, we saw Connor Zary and slightly different. You know, there wasn't the whole waiver thing that went into it last year. But Connor Zary had a good camp and started in the American Hockey League. Kind of told him, okay, I'll shove this down your throats. And within a month, he was back up here and ended up being a top 10 vote getter for Rookie of the Year and had himself a really nice rookie season in the NHL. And now there's no question that Connor Zary was going to be on this roster to start the year. That's kind of what you're hoping for if you're Jacob Pelche. And if you're the Flames, you're hoping that he, you know, takes this situation and uses it the right way.
Yeah, precisely you are. And you know, I wrote something yesterday for Post Media about that meeting that Connor Zary had where he was sent down to the farm team last year and how sour Craig Conroy and Ryan Huska could tell he was and how he responded when he got to the minors and what guys can learn from it. And absolutely that, you know, that combined with a similar story for Martin Pospisil last year. That is the roadmap back to the NHL for Jacob Pelche. And, you know, if you're the Flames, you're certainly hoping that we're talking about him being the next Connor Zary. I think what fans were worried about for 24 hours is that he'd be the next Paul Byron or Yusuf Välimäki, a player who goes on waivers and proves in another city that he can be a frequent contributor, a consistent guy at the NHL level. And so, you know, I suppose hindsight being what it is, Jacob Pelche is now through waivers. Maybe some of us, myself included, were overestimating the risk that the Flames were playing. But I am curious to see where it goes from here. I think, you know, Jacob Pelche and I have had conversations. I know Jacob Pelche has been quite forthcoming with the media about sort of losing his confidence at points last year, and going on waivers is about the worst thing for your confidence. And so, really fascinated to see how he bounces back. Suddenly, you know, that kind of age range of wingers, like if we talk about whatever age you want to put on it, 22 to 26 year old, like that's somewhere that the Flames are suddenly quite deep, is that age range on the wing. If you go, you know, through Zary, Pospisil, if he ends up back on the wing, Yegor Sharangovich is still a relatively young guy. Matt Coronato, Adam Klapka, Sam Honzek obviously isn't even in that age range yet. So there's some depth there. Like, it's not going to be easy for Jacob Pelche to necessarily muscle his way back in, but I also don't see any reason when I look at the Wranglers roster, and this isn't, you know, throwing haymakers at anyone else, but I don't see any reason that Jacob Pelche shouldn't be the leading candidate to be the next call-up. He's just got to put himself there.
And it's got to be on him to make that happen. Devin Cooley made it through as well. I do, you know, a couple of factors there. The Flames did have the, like, they as they timed it and were timing it, so there was probably the least opportunity that he gets claimed. Anaheim did claim a goalie. They went with James Reimer from Buffalo, and Cooley goes through. I do think the strategic move of giving him that second year with a one-way, there was a little bit of the, hey, you know, if we have to put them on waivers, this is something that maybe will shy teams away, because not only do you then have to keep a player on your NHL roster for this season, there's also a contract to take into consideration for next season. And I do really think that helped a guy like Cooley, who had a very, very good camp and by all means could be in the NHL in the not-so-distant future, depending on how things go here. I do think that second year on Cooley's contract helped him get through.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think the interesting one with Devin Cooley is going to come, you know, if he gets an audition, would probably be in case of some sort of injury mid-season, or maybe one of the other goalies is struggling, you know, performance-wise, whatever the case may be. If Devin Cooley comes up and plays really well, I think the challenge is going to be getting them through waivers the next time. If Devin Cooley reaches or starts to show the potential that the Flames really believe he has, and obviously he showed some of that in the preseason, but you know, teams aren't necessarily looking to take on a huge project on waivers. They're looking for
immediate help.
Yeah, because they have to put that guy on their NHL roster.
Yep.
And so that's the one that's going to be more curious to me. You know, if Devin Cooley is up for a couple of weeks and gives the Calgary Flames a couple of good performances, suddenly that one way in the next year, the deal doesn't look so cumbersome for some teams. And I think that'll be a challenge. But, you know, as Craig Conroy sort of alluded to with us, like, if you're not worried about losing players on waivers, it means you don't have enough good players.
Yep.
And so, yeah, is this a stressful time for the hockey ops and for an organization? Sure. But if every team looks at the guys you put on waivers and covers their nose and says no thanks, that's an indicator of something else.
Cole Schwint gets claimed by the Vegas Golden Knights, which was not the guy a lot of people were expecting. But, you know, Craig Conroy even told us, the general manager, when he spoke with us here on Monday, that they were a little worried that Schwint was going to get that was the one they're like, geez, everybody's looking for center icemen. Then you factor in this is a right shot center iceman with size. This was Ryan Huska on losing Cole Schwint a little earlier on Monday.
That's a tough one. It is, for sure. I mean, the unfortunate thing is you can't keep everybody as much as you would like to. Sometimes when they get to a certain age, this is what happens. So I wish him the very best. It hurts for us, for sure, because he's a right-handed centerman, and that's something that we don't have, really, when you look at our depth. So it's a tough loss for us, for sure, for when you look at the depth of our team. But at the same time, I'm hopeful that he gets a great opportunity. He goes on to some good things.
So now Cole Schwint gets an opportunity to go to Vegas. We'll see if he's a guy that you know, spends some time on the NHL roster. If they decide to eventually put him on waivers, we'll see, and maybe see if they can get him to Henderson or not. But the value of a right shot center, it always is there, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely it is. And you know, I've wondered about the San Jose Sharks maybe putting in a waiver claim on a couple of Flames that have been there. You know, the one thing about the recent success of the Calgary Wranglers and sort of how heavy that Pacific Division schedule is, you know, a guy like Cole Schwint, Vegas has seen him a lot, right? Like, Henderson and the Wranglers play all the time, just like they do against Bakersfield and San Jose and the, you know, few teams in that Pacific Division. And so I didn't have it on my radar. You know, I don't want to sit here and be the guy who says I saw this coming.
Yeah.
And yet now when you put the pieces together, you know, the size of the player, the fact he's a right-handed center, just the shortage of centers, let alone right-handed centers, that's out there. And he's 23 years old. Like, this is a guy who I think the Flames believed was knocking on the door. I know they believed he was knocking on the door. I think one of the reasons he wasn't signed until basically the first day of training camp is his camp believed that he should be a full-time NHLer, and we're hoping that a one-way contract might come as a part of that. Didn't here in Calgary, but he's going to get a good opportunity there in Vegas, a team that, because of their top-heavy structure, needs to really find some value.
And the final kind of piece of news was Yegor Sharangovich starting the season on IR. Just an awful, awful piece of luck. Is, what, about 4 minutes remaining, 6 minutes remaining, whatever it was on Friday night?
Sustains
a lower body injury, leaves gingerly, goes right down the tunnel, doesn't return. This was Ryan Huska talking Yegor Sharangovich on Monday morning as well.
It's tough not to have him, for sure. I mean, I think he's a guy that makes our power play better. He's a penalty killer for us, and he plays a lot of minutes 5-on-5 now. I mean, we all know what he can bring to the table. It took us a while to figure out who he was last year, but I think we're all pretty comfortable in knowing exactly who he is now. And, yeah, for the games that we're going to miss him, that's a big loss for us. But, again, it's opportunity for someone else now, which is something that I've seen over the course of this camp. A lot of players raise their level, so I'm expecting the same for our guys to start the season.
It's just for how good his season was last year, year one of a new contract extension, all of that, and then you get hurt in the final minutes of the preseason finale. I just I feel really bad for Yegor, because you know it's a little bit of a that's a rough start to your second season with the Flames, and a second season that a lot of people are excited for.
Yeah, and you know, rightfully so. This is a guy we did a preseason poll at Post Media, and one of the questions was, who do you think will lead the Flames in scoring this year? And Yegor Sharangovich actually won that poll, you know, just a little bit ahead of Nazem Kadri in terms of what guy fans thought would lead this team, you know, top the team scoring charts. And so this one stings a lot. I know Craig Conroy told us earlier in this hour it's not as bad as they feared, but it, you know, maybe they were still hoping for a little bit better news. Yeah. I don't get the sense, you know, we're going to see him on the ice at the start of next week. That's for sure. And buddy, like, if it was any other day, wouldn't this entire script be Yegor Sharangovich?
Yeah.
Like this is a massive piece of news for the Calgary Flames, and because it comes on roster deadline day, and because of Sam Honzek's great camp and the Jacob Pelche debate and losing Cole Schwind, we got a ton to talk about, but this will be the biggest story of the day almost any other day this season.
Yep, no doubt about it. And hopefully it's a quick recovery for Yegor, as he's out week to week, starting on IR to start the season. A few texts for you at 960-960. This says, Schwint will never be any more than a fourth liner or an extra forward, while Pelche has more upside. Pelche needs to stay healthy, and his size works against him. But Mangiapane stayed healthy, so hopefully Pelche can as well. This one from Brian, who says, guys, can you explain what waivers will look like for those who cleared over the next few months? Do they have to clear again when called up and sent back, or is it a certain amount of games that have to pass, or how they work? Can Pelche be claimed at another point this season going up and down from the big club? So here's the way it works. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I'll do my best.
But once you clear waivers, you then have an exemption period of either 30 days or 10 games on the NHL roster, whatever is the shortest.
Whichever comes first. Yeah.
So either 10 games or 30 days on the NHL roster. But they can, like, you could be on a five-game homestand and over a span of 8 days or whatever, and only three of those days or four of those days you're on the NHL roster, because you can go up and down freely. So that's kind of the way it works. Once that 30-day or 10-game period on the NHL roster expires, then you have to go on waivers again.
And correct me if I'm wrong on this, but Jacob Pelche getting called up in January starts a new clock. Like, to go back down at that point, he must clear again.
After, like, midway through the season or when the calendar turns? That I don't know. See, this is why. Where's Pike?
Piker, we miss you, buddy.
Kevin in Carstairs says, I think Pelche is going to be an amazing player. He's going through some hardships, and I'd like a lot of those naysayers to really understand the organization, in my opinion, hasn't given up on him as they place him on waivers, hoping to send him down to regain his swagger. He wasn't released. He was placed on waivers to try to improve, to give him an opportunity to come back to the big team, and I hope he comes back and proves to everyone that he's an NHLer and, better yet, a Flames regular. This says, guys, I think one thing we have to say is Juuso Välimäki and Paul Byron are NHL players but easily replaceable ones. I don't know why we need to be worried if Pelche turns out to be comparable to those guys, even if they do lose him one day. There you go on the text line at 960-960. Always love to hear from you on the text line here on Flames Talk as well.
And to, I believe it was Kevin and Carstairs, to that text, like, I just want to offer a little bit of perspective that I keep using, and that's that when Martin Pospisil made his NHL debut last season, he had just turned 24 or was just about to turn 24. And it was like found money, right? Oh my God, where did this guy come from? Obviously, Jacob Pelche's draft pedigree doesn't make him quite the same story, but I would pump the brakes about thinking that Jacob Pelche should be a finished product.
Yeah, and I mean, especially because of, I think we can call last year a full-on lost season. I
know just a write-off. Just a total write-off.
The whole thing was lost.
Yeah.
And hopefully this year, even though there's going to be some American League time involved in it, hopefully this year can be the opposite of a lost season. So the 23-player roster is set for the Calgary Flames, and now they are set for one more practice before they hit the road, fly out to Vancouver to play the Canucks on Wednesday night at Rogers Arena. We start to wrap up this portion of Flames Talk. Cam Shan, our producers back at our downtown studios. Wes Gilbertson on Twitter at Wes Gilbertson. My name is Pat Steinberg. You can get Flames Talk wherever you get your podcasts. Go give us a whirl on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, and wherever you get your pods.